I want you all to think back at a time you were being called to the truth. Everyone has their own unique story, how God worked in each of our lives, either through a friend or a family member, perhaps discovering the true church through an advertisement, or by mail, or through social media, especially nowadays. And for the recent called out ones to the truth, perhaps through the church websites or live services through YouTube, like right now, for example, or on Facebook, or wherever the messages are being proclaimed. What made you come to the realization that what we preach is in fact the truth? Did you compare by what we are saying with what the Bible says? What God, what Christ says in his many examples, does it match? Or are we contradicting what we are saying? Have we been consistent in our teachings? Now, we have a booklet entitled How to Find the True Church of God. And it goes exactly into these things, many questions that people had. What, in fact, is the truth? What is, in fact, the true Church of God? If you haven't read this booklet, please do so. It'll shed some light for any questions you may have. Because if you think about it, I mean, look at all the religions that are out there. Look at all the Church of God groups that are out there. Yet there are differences in each one, or else we'd all be together, right? But many of us were called through the Worldwide Church of God at that time under Herbert W. Armstrong. And at one point, there was well over 100,000 members all around the world. I think it was around 150,000, something like that. But then after he died, a successor took over, and things started to change little by little, which goes well with the scripture in Galatians 5:9, where a little leaven ultimately will leaven the whole lump. And over time, it resulted into several Church of God splinter groups. Now, I've always had a foot in the door since I was born into the church, and there are several among us that experienced the same thing, especially within my family. My sister, of course, was also born into the church, and our children now as well. And some have told me that this was more advantageous for me, let's say, since I didn't have to go through what the world had to offer. And it was quite a blessing to have grown up in the church. Now, this was coming from those who did come out of the world, especially talking to people in Germany who were new to the truth. Of course, most of the people there in Germany were. And they had come out of the world, and I had conversations with them where they had said to, it's like, you know what, that's great that you were born into the church. You didn't have to go through what we had to and then find out later on that it was wrong and all this. So they came out of the world after being called by God, and they had experienced many things, and yet they didn't know any better. It may seem genuine that they told me these things, but that's not quite the case. When I was a kid, I pretty much went along with what I was taught. I went to Imperial Schools, and that was run by the Worldwide Church of God. And I was surrounded by kids, by teachers, by parents, whoever it may be, that all believed what I believed. And we all kept the Sabbath, and we all kept the feasts. It seemed pretty easy to do, with no worries at all. But then the changes started coming in. And my parents made sure I was aware of what was going on, but I was still young, still trying to comprehend everything that was going on. And it wasn't easy, from all of a sudden going from one thing to the next. And what happened to everything that we did believe? And then things started happening, and then within the church, or within the school as well, especially when the changes started happening, and then we hear something different. In the last 2 years, our private school went public, and kids from the outside started coming in, some of which were involved with gangs, and then their friends would come into the school, and fights would break out, would influence others, people that have been there, students that were there their whole lives, got to them. That led to vandalism, it led to theft, it led to the same things that you see in public schools today. That's how much the school had changed. Peer pressure was definitely put to the test because you wanted to fit in. Now, I made mistakes. Fortunately, it was nothing too drastic in comparison. I didn't get myself expelled or anything like that. But, it got to where the best of my friends, you know, we're trying to fit in. We're trying to, you know, it's a peer pressure. I mean, it's what you all go through. Public schools these days, too. It is all about peer pressure. So the school closed when I was in 10th grade. And then we moved here to San Diego, where we are now, to Ramona. And I finished my last 2 years of high school here. Now my graduating class, at that time Imperial Schools, was 13 students. And it went from 13 to 500 plus here. Now this was a drastic change, and now I was completely alone. And by that I mean I was the only student in the whole school that believed what I believe today. It was challenging, and I was confronted by several based on my beliefs, especially around the Christmas time. And I wasn't quite up to par yet in my responses. Yet, even though I wouldn't have an exact response that I wanted to, of course I would learn that later on, but I didn't waver by giving in to celebrating these pagan holidays, smoking and drugs, which was a big thing then. I'd never done any of that. I didn't break the Sabbath, even though I was tested with that quite often, especially when it came to playing sports, which I really wanted to do. Come out of Imperial Schools, pretty much playing every sport there, but then coming here when virtually all sports involve the Sabbath. But I did manage to at least play volleyball, and that was great because that didn't involve the Sabbath until I actually got into the playoffs, when then it involved a Saturday. My coach didn't like that at all. Of course, I had to remind him that he agreed to me not playing. But anyway, there was still something that would always come up where I had to be put to the test of how I would respond. I always had the feeling inside me what I needed to do. When I made mistakes, when I went through phases, the time would come where I had to wake up and focus on what was right. And I know God was working with me, as patient as he was, as he is with all of us, because I made mistakes throughout my life. I still struggled. I still struggle today. From time to time, I still learn. But then I am so encouraged by the examples we read about in the Bible, where God's faithful went through the same things that I went through, that we all go through, and even more extreme in some cases. Yet they found their way back to God and doing what was right, because in their hearts is what God looked at, is what they looked at. They knew what was true. Examples of David, of Elijah, Samson, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Peter, Paul, and many, many more. They all struggled. They all went through tests. They all went through trials. They all had their struggles. They always had a foot in the door. But the key was to have both feet in. Notice Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. We do read, though, that time will come when God's patience runs out. We notice that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, and Matthew 7, verses 17 through 20, just as a couple examples. And in these examples, we're talking about people that were called, that know the truth, but then decide that they don't want to do it anymore. Or they keep messing up, and from the heart is in a deceitful way as well. And this is a big warning to those who do not bear good fruit. We know what happens to those who don't bear good fruit. Eventually the time will come where God has had enough. We take our struggles and we try to improve, always trying to do better. We make a mistake, we get right back up again, and we try again. We want to improve, we want to learn from them, and we teach others to do what is right. That is a responsibility of a parent to a child. My son knows all about this, and he likes to hear my stories of when I was a child, and he's encouraged to know that I was not perfect, and I continue to learn from them. He really likes it when I've messed up or hurt myself. So I keep telling about those things, so he shouldn't feel too bad when he does the same thing. But it's always good to be ahead of it. You know, you've gone through these struggles, so you know what to expect. It makes it easier to teach, I guess, right? But I think back to when I was his age and what was told to me. My parents taught me the same. And the cycle repeats itself. God does the same to us. Through his word, through his teachers, through the truth that is being proclaimed. We do not stop listening. We do not stop learning. We do not stop obeying. And we do not give up. We have gone this far. And even those who are brand new in the truth and have a foot in the door, the most important thing is what to do next with your other foot. The moment you become baptized, you have both feet in, and now it is absolutely crucial to stay in. We're obviously not perfect yet, nor can we be as long as we are flesh and blood, but our zeal to make it to the end, to obtain salvation, so we can have eternal life and become God beings, should be our absolute focus. As long as we are human, we will struggle. We do find ourselves getting distracted with various things going on in the world, in our personal lives. So how do we keep our interest fresh right now? And how do we continue with it? How do we keep ourselves motivated, like with everything else in life? We have times of excitement, and then it drifts away. And then we need to find ways to keep going. The times we are presently in should be a very good indication that we need God in our lives, that times will be getting worse, as the Bible prophesies. And if we think that we can get through this all on our own, especially what's going to happen in the near future without God, then we are terribly mistaken. And we are going to regret, let's say, having given up, or having tried to put matters into our own hands. We see the examples in the Bible of how that is not possible. When we go through times of discouragement, thinking that giving up is the answer, we need to think back to our calling and when we made the decision to follow God until the end. That was a great time of excitement. There's a decision that we made there. Why can't we have that same excitement at all times? We have made it this far. We have made the correct choice to live God's way of life. We need to continue doing it. We have entered an open door, and we are expected to keep both feet in. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Revelation 3 and verse 8. We all hope that we can be in this category right here. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. This open door refers to the ability of a church to preach the gospel to the whole world as a witness before Christ's return. That is our mission. That's what we're trying to do. And Christ himself is an open door. To us, to a spiritual Philadelphians. And also, it's an open door to physical protection, which we're going to need when times get really bad. So I talk about the place of safety. And however that's going to happen, however we're going to get there, wherever it's going to be, we don't have to worry about that. God already provided many miracles in the Bible how he will get us there. Right now, presently, we cannot fly to majority of the world. And if we think, you know, that was the way to get to a place of safety, can't even fly now based on what's going on. Wait till things really get bad, right? God will always provide a miracle and an escape. Notice verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, verse 13, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has a foot in the door, let him bring the other foot in and keep it there. We have an ear to hear what is being said, and we have eyes to see what is going on. And we should not forget that, but keep ourselves focused and motivated for our ultimate prize.